The following is a paid program.
The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Football Friday edition of the Leach Report, a rainy one. It's supposed to be rainy throughout most of the weekend, as it is a big weekend for games. Two basketball games sandwiched around a football game for Kentucky men's basketball and football, and we'll have them all on the UK network, and we'll be talking about them today here on the show with Lee K. Howard from WKYT-TV, the co-host of the BBN-TV show each week, John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader, and Ken Spencer from WHAS-TV in Louisville. Wildcat News of the Day, a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. That's private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Kentucky plays Mount St. Mary's out of the Northeast Conference tonight, 7 o'clock at Rupp. On Sunday, they'll play Lamar at 6 Eastern time. No word yet on the status of injured Kentucky players, E.J. Montgomery and Emmanuel Quickly. Dante Allen, there's a little buzz with a couple of tweets his mom sent out that he might be back in the mix soon, but don't look for him to be in the rotation anytime soon. But sounds like there's good reason to be optimistic. Maybe it'll happen at some point down the road this season. I think one of the things you can watch for, not just in this game, but sometime over the next few games, breakout games for the freshmen. Maybe a step in that direction with Johnny Juzang on Monday night with a couple of big rebounds that he got. Still not making the outside shots, but I have to believe that will come. You know, Tyrese Maxey had his big game in the opener against Michigan State. Has been a little spotty since then, so you're looking for some consistency out of him. And then Brooks and Whitney are two guys that are tremendous talents, and I think at some point are going to be huge, make huge contributions. But right now they still are just kind of in more miss than hit, usually in terms of finding their way. Keon is rebounding at a pretty high percentage. I was looking at some numbers this morning. Brooks, Keon Brooks, struggling to make shots, especially at the free throw line, as is Khalil Whitney. But you can see the talent that's there, so you know it'll come at some point. So that's one thing you can watch for in these games that don't have a lot of usually particular interest going in to them with the matchup, the games Kentucky's playing right now. Football, Tennessee Martin tomorrow. It's the final game of the season for the Skyhawks out of the OVC from the Football Championship Subdivision. Obviously, Kentucky a big favorite in that one. One of the things I'll be looking for is do Chris Rodriguez and Kavassier Smoke build on what we saw last week? Really impressed by those two guys, and I liked how they ran, made yards after contact down at Vanderbilt. So maybe they're taking their games to another level. Men's soccer, a dramatic win for Kentucky over Loyola Chicago last night at the Bell Soccer Complex, 2-1 in double overtime. So Kentucky advances to face the overall 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, Indiana, on Sunday in Bloomington. Indiana is a traditional power in men's soccer, but Kentucky has played the Hoosiers really well in recent weeks. So good luck to Coach Sedergren and his guys. Women's basketball got a nice win over Moorhead, 79-54. The thing that was really good to see is just how well Kentucky shot the ball. They had some issues with their offense to get started here early in the season. Ryan Howard had a big game with 24 points. CBI Insurance game day weather tomorrow, not going to be great. Light rain is what they're saying during the day tomorrow leading up to the game and during the game. And around 50 degrees, so it'll be a little bit of a chilly rain, although it certainly could be colder this time of year. But you have two chances left to watch Lynn Bowden do his thing. So there's one reason to head out to the stadium tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about what he's doing with our guests as we move through the show today. Our Tito's Vodka Race of the Week comes from Aqueduct. Hopefully they keep this thing on the turf. It's the Red Smith at 1 3/8 mile. And the big favorite is probably going to be Sadler's Joy with the class edge and speed figure edge that one has. But he just has a annoying tendency to run well but come up short, finish second, third, or fourth. So I'm going to take Marzo in there. Really nice winner of the Sycamore Stakes at Keeneland last month in his second start for the Mike Maker barn. And if this horse is starting to really get good for Maker, he can maybe upset the favorite in that race tomorrow at Aqueduct. Heading to a break. Links to the stories that we talk about, you can find them on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Our show served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And we'll chat with Lee K. Howard from WKYT when we come right back.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
Quarter past the top of the hour, Lee K. Howard joins us on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline from WKYT-TV, also co-host with Christy Thomas of the BBN-TV show, which comes up again this weekend here in Lexington and all around the state on the UK network. Lee K., let's start with a little Lynn Bowden talk. Tomorrow, he needs 116 rushing yards to join Randall Cobb as the only Kentucky players to go over 1,000 in rushing, receiving, and returns. And the other thing, I called somebody to check on yesterday because I can't find this anywhere. And so I asked somebody in UK Sports Information to use their resources to see what they could find. Has there ever, I don't think this has happened at Kentucky, but I just wonder how many times, if ever, it's happened elsewhere for a player to lead his team in passing yards and receiving yards. And he's about 140 behind Sawyer Smith right now in passing yards. I have to think that is pretty rare if that happens.
Yeah, I would say, Tom, that's as rare as it comes. I don't know that specific stat there, but, you know, isn't it fitting that I think ever since Lynn Bowden was recruited, people compared him to Randall Cobb, and this just gives kind of more fuel to that fire. I think he is certainly the most dynamic all-around athlete, and that's obviously why he's up for the Paul Hornung Award. But since Randall Cobb at Kentucky, and it's pretty neat some of the things that he's able to do. I saw a video yesterday of him punting in high school.
Yeah, where he fumbles the punt or mishandles the punt and just runs 99 yards for a touchdown.
Right. That's not something most people can do. You know, so he is just a dynamic player, and I know the coaching staff and his teammates have just appreciated the way that he's been able to adapt his talents this year to benefit the team as a whole. You know, I mean, I think he's got a pro career ahead of him, and he knows it's not at the quarterback position, but that says something about a kid who's willing to play a position that he knows he doesn't have a future in, but is the best for this team. You know, he hasn't said so, but I would think most people would think this is probably Lynn Bowden's last year at Kentucky. And, you know, some guys might think, well, I've got to rack up as many receiving yards as I possibly can and receiving touchdowns because that's where my future is in the NFL. Or as a special teams player, I could certainly see him doing that at the next level. You know, he's not even doing that right now. He's sacrificing his statistics as a receiver to be the quarterback. And yeah, it's certainly paying off for him, I think, in the long run, but certainly the Wildcats as well.
Yeah, I'm just looking here at the stats. It looks like, if I'm looking at this correctly, it's actually about 215 he needs to get to 1,000. I'll have to go back and check these numbers.
Just over 200, yes.
In rushing. But he is not far behind. He's got 217 passing yards to Sawyer's 458. And he actually is not leading in receiving yards. He's slightly behind Ahmad Wagner. So he'd have to he's like 11 yards behind Ahmad Wagner. So he may
but
not
you
end
think
up
he doesn't throw him the ball so much so that he can't get too far.
maybe that's
too far
it.
In front of him.
Maybe that's it. But Lynn, probably at some point, they'll throw one back to him, so he could end up leading in receiving yards. And then I just wonder if there's – these are just fun things to think about. you kickoff return yards and punt return yards. I don't see that here as I'm scrolling through this. You know, there, I guess those are the only five things an offensive player could lead in. You know, a guy to lead in everything you could lead in would be really cool. So yeah. I don't think it's going to end up happening, but it's pretty neat.
And think about this. I mean, just to talk about how versatile of an athlete he is, Mark Stoops was talking about before the season began, during the summer and training camp, they had toyed with the idea of playing him on defense a little bit.
Yes.
In fact, Lynn
yes.
approached Mark Stoops about, hey, you know, when are you going to put me back there in the secondary? And Stoops said that there was a plan in place to play him on defense a little bit and, you know, let him play both sides of the ball. And, of course, that was long before they knew that he was going to be the quarterback. But, you know, that speaks to it as well. He could have some defensive stats or maybe an interception or two if that were to be the case. I mean, but these kind of athletes like Lynn just don't come along very often where you got a guy that can just pretty much do everything and anything. And, you know, the way that he's been running the ball this year, Kentucky is second in the SEC in rushing yards and a top 20 team nationally rushing. And of course, a lot of that is due to Lynn Bowden back there and the way that he can use his legs in that position.
Yeah, and I really thought when they went down this road, I really was all in on the idea to begin with for that Arkansas game. Thought it was a great way to, you know, given the circumstances, to be creative. And I thought, okay, it's, you know, two or three weeks, somebody will figure out the way to shut him down, and then you'll have to go back to a more conventional approach. And really, I mean, even, you know, the game they lost against Tennessee, they moved the ball well. So at this point, I don't know that anybody is going to slow him down or shut him down.
Yeah, it's really hard to stop an offense like that. I thought after the first week or two, eventually when Sawyer Smith got healthy, they would switch back to Sawyer. And I don't think it's a knock on Sawyer at all. I just think the offense and Mark Stoops and the staff got comfortable with what Lynn was able to do as a quarterback. I mean, and give Eddie Grand credit. I mean, he has rearranged this offense and fit it to mold it around Lynn Bowden. And, you know, I think they know that they've got something unique with this situation. They're getting wins. You know, obviously they're going to try to get another one tomorrow against UT Martin. And, you know, this, when you look back at Mark Stoops' tenure at Kentucky, you know, the Stephen Johnson year when he stepped in, I mean, that was an impressive year. But this has got to be one of the more impressive years, even if it ends up 7 wins or, you know, hopefully 8 wins. This is going to be one of the more, you know, impressive ones just because of the injuries and the things that they've had to deal with to get all the way to another bowl game. It's pretty impressive.
I thought it was interesting what Stoops said the other night on the radio show, that they're finding some things here that they can maybe incorporate into a more conventional offense when they go back to that route next season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like I said, I would give Eddie Grand some credit because they're figuring out ways that, say, it's Terry Wilson next year, a quarterback, that they can learn from what they've taught themselves essentially this year and incorporate that with him next year. And, you know, he's not as dynamic of a runner, but he certainly can run the ball. And they're just adapting their offense around their players. And that tells you have good coaches. I think John Calipari tries to do that every year, tries to get the best players and then tries to fit the offense around them. And that's what the football coaching staff has done this year. They're trying to do whatever it takes to win. And you got to give those players credit, not just Lynn, but, you know, some of those receivers have had to sacrifice some yards that they probably would have had if you had Terry Wilson or even Sawyer Smith back there. But they're all just willing to, you know, the betterment of the whole, I guess. And so that's what's impressive about this season so far. And they found ways to win some ugly games, and you know, that's basically what it comes down to in the end.
What's coming up on the BBN TV show tomorrow?
Well, you know, we're right in the middle of basketball and football season. I always say November and March are the two busiest months of the year in the sports calendar because of November, of course, because it's the overlap month. So a lot of basketball, a lot of football, but we also have some highlights from volleyball's big win the other night against Missouri, of course. Kentucky soccer last night, defeating Loyola Chicago. So we kind of touch on several different sports, and should be a good show. Jeff Picoro is stopping in and talking some football with Christy Thomas and I, so it should be a good time.
Thank you, Lee Kay, very much.
All right, thanks, Tom.
It's Lee K. Howard, and we're heading to a break. John Clay from the Herald Leader. When we come right back, it's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
It's 26 past the top of the hour. John Clay joins us from the Lexington Herald Leader and KentuckySports.com on the KentuckyHempWorks.com online. We'll start with a little basketball, John. You've written recently about the three-point shooting woes for the Wildcats, 21% currently. I was just looking up numbers in preparation for tonight. Last three games, they've been outscored by an average of 28-7 on three-point shots. So that's, you know, 21-point deficit to make up on average in those games. They're making up about 13 a game on free throws. But that's a lot to have to overcome.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Simple math says that's a lot to overcome. And, you know, and you know, Cal is not a, he doesn't want his offense to be, you know, based on the three pointer. But still there comes a point where you have to make some threes and you have to make some outside shots. And so far, you know, we haven't seen that from this team. Now, you know, Emmanuel Quickley didn't play the other night. He's probably one of their better outside shooters. Johnny Juzang, who was recruited as a, being a good perimeter shooter. You know, we've only seen a small sample size of him. I think he's one of five from three. Tyrese Maxey shot the three very well in the first game against Michigan State. I think he was three of seven from three. Hit some, you know, really long range bombs that were kind of game turners. And he hasn't been able to do that since. I think they'll get better, at shooting three. And I think another thing that has hurt them is the lineups are kind of in flux. I don't think because of the injuries to EJ Montgomery and now Quickley and Nick Richards before that, I don't think they've settled into an offensive rhythm yet. And a lot of times, you know, in the past, their threes, when their offense is in rhythm and they get a natural three instead of forcing up a three, you know, you're going to shoot better. So I think there's a lot of factors involved.
Yeah, Cal said the other night they need to find a way to get seven or eight per game, which is a kind of in line with what his teams normally do. There are really only a couple of outliers in the time that he's been here, the Ulis Murray team and then even more so the Lamb and Knight team in his second year. I really thought this team would be maybe not quite to that level, but closer. We'll see if it plays out that way. They're going to have some catching up to do, obviously, from where they've started. But I would think they're going to have to be able to have that because you don't think they're going to have a great inside game like they had last year.
Right. And that may be, you know, I had someone email me and made a good point. Is that he thought one of the problems is that they haven't had a real forceful post game. Although Nick has played well, especially in a couple of the games, but wondered, will they have a strong post presence? Because Cal would like to play inside out, go to the post first and then back out. Same thing with the dribble drive. When people talk about the dribble drive, I mean, it's basically based on penetration and kicking out for an open shot. If they could develop a little more of a post presence. I think another thing, too, is Nate Sestina. I mean, Nate the other night was very honest about how on both ends of the floor, he's still trying to find his way, figure out his role on the team, trying to get better defensively. I think that will help as well.
This guy who shot 38% on threes last year, so he should give him a little bit of that. I think he's only made two so far. We're halfway home on the show. John Clay's with us from the Herald Leader. We'll continue this discussion, get into a little football, too, when we come back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Second half of our show, we're back with John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader. I was looking up these numbers earlier, and Lynn Bowden was chatting with Lee K. Howard. I was looking at the wrong thing, apparently. He does lead in receiving yards by over 100 against Wagner, so he'll end up still being number one there. He's a little over, he's about 370-plus yards behind in passing yards, and he's leading in rushing yards and most likely will stay there. I was just thinking how interesting it would be if he went led in passing and receiving yards. It's going to take something to do that. But it is amazing, and what they've accomplished. When, as I was saying earlier, I really thought somebody would have figured a way to slow it down after 2 or 3 weeks. And at this point, I'm not expecting that to happen anymore.
No, no, no. And if he did leave in passing or receiving yards, I think he'd be the first one to do that since we did it as when we were kids in our backyard.
Would you throw to yourself
and run down? Yeah, exactly. You just throw it and run down and catch it yourself. When you didn't have anybody else to play against, so you're out there in your backyard throwing it around. It is amazing what he's done. And to me, one of the most amazing things about it is that, you know, they didn't plan for this. You know, they just had like a week of that off week before the Arkansas game, I think it was, you know, to plan for this. It wasn't like they put it in during the spring and practiced it over and, you know, schemed it over the summer, and worked on it again in fall camp, and to be able to do what they've done, and be so successful at it. Because even in the games that, you know, even the games they lost, I mean, Georgia was, terrible playing conditions, rainstorm, plus you're playing a really good team in Georgia. I think I read where Georgia and Clemson are the only two teams in the country that have not had more than 21 points scored on them in a game. And then in the Tennessee game, I mean, they dominated the statistics. They moved the ball up and down the field. They just didn't make the play at the end of the game to win the game. So to me, to be able to change what you're doing in the middle of the year, move a wide receiver to quarterback. Now, obviously, he's not just any wide receiver. He's not just any athlete, but be able to do that's been pretty amazing.
Since you brought up Sandlot football, we'll go back into Mr. Peabody's Wayback Machine for a couple of other references that you'll remember. Last week when they had Smoke and Rodriguez on either side of Lynn, and they ran this at least once where he faked it to the back, I think to his right, I can't remember which one it was, and then ran the option and pitched it to the outside guy. I mean, I flash back to Fanuzzi, Campassi, and Collins when I first started going to games regularly in 73, and the new stadium had just opened. And then the other thing is, a guy, we always compare him to Randall Cobb, but there's another guy who deserves a mention in terms of, you know, Mr. Versatility type, and a little bit before our time, just barely, John, we were kids, but probably don't remember that much about him, Dickie Lyons Sr.
Right, right. Yeah, the first, I think I've told this story before, the first football game that I saw in person, UK football game, when my dad took me to a stall field, was Dickie Lyons. I think his final year, they played West Virginia. He scored every point because he also kicked on that team. They beat West Virginia 22-7. Yeah, he was all around athlete. If Lynn starts kicking field goals, then we'll, you know, really have something. But yeah, it's funny that you bring up about Mike Fanuzzi and so forth during the game. I think the Vanderbilt game, Mark Story, my colleague, he said, you know, they're running the Veer.
Yes.
They're running the Veer, and that, yeah, that is back to the days of Fran and Fran Kersey and Mike Fanuzzi and Sonny Collins, and that is a little bit of the offense. It reminds you of the, for a long time, Kentucky football fans, it does remind you of that offense.
And you mentioned kicking. I'm guessing Stoops might not be all that far away from giving him a shot. One more block or missed extra point.
He might not. Just go on out there. And now Lynn wants to play basketball, so he may just do it all.
It is amazing. It's been, you know, in a season that, I think could have been a lot better if Terry Wilson had stayed healthy. You just wonder what it might have turned out to be. What they have manufactured is very worthy of a lot of praise and very creative.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to give the coaches a lot of praise. They've did this before when Eddie Grant's first season, when Drew Barker got hurt and they went to Steven Johnson, they had to kind of change the offense. That's when Benny Snell, started to come along, and they put him in third or fourth game of the season, and hey, we got something here. We're going to adapt to this because we can run the ball. And, you know, a lot of this goes back to, and we talked about this with Mark Stoops yesterday, since the day one that he got here, he said he won, I want a physical football team. I want a team, if you can't be physical in this league, you don't have a chance. And he says, I want to be balanced, but I really want to be physical. And you got to give a lot of credit to the offensive line as well, because sure, they love to run block, but when everybody in the stadium knows they're going to run and they're sticking 8, 9, 10 people in the box even, you know, that's not the easiest thing in the world to be able to block all those guys. So you have to give the offensive line and John Schmarman a lot of credit, too.
Well, that gives us a segue into something you wrote about recently in one of your columns that folks can find at KentuckySports.com about John Schmarman. And I think a lot of Kentucky fans will be offended if Lynn doesn't win the Paul Hornung Award. Forget the fan voting. I'm talking about, you know, the overall award. And, you know, for what the offensive line's one of 10 semifinalists for the best offensive line in the country, the Joe Moore Award. And their coach has done not only an amazing job with this group, but with the last 4 years in particular. And, oh, yeah, he's doing it while fighting cancer. Why shouldn't he be up for, I think, was it the Frank Broyles Award for the top assistant?
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Very good point. I mean, I think he's helped transform the offensive line. I mean, they went a long time between guys even getting drafted.
Mm-hmm.
UK offensive linemen even getting drafted. And you know, I think one of the problems that they during the recent past, not so much of Rich Brooks, but before that, was that they did get pushed around. They didn't have. And how many times have we heard the old thing, well, Kentucky's got to run a gimmick offense because they'll never be able to just line up and knock people off the ball in the SEC. And for John to be able to do that, as you said, fighting cancer, and I think people that's gotten lost a little bit, but he's fighting that, as Mark Stoops said last week. He had another treatment and procedure done for the Vandy game. You know, it's pretty remarkable.
Shift gears a little bit to racing, horse racing, something you also wrote about recently, and this new coalition for trying to improve the safety has formed. And it seems to have, there's always been talk about racing can't ever get everybody on the same page. They're getting a lot closer with this, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a step in the right direction because you have all the major players, all the major tracks pretty much with the Stronach Group, Keeneland, Churchill, Del Mar, Naira, all together. They made a big point the other day in their press conference. It's just the beginning. A lot of things have to be worked out. But the fact that you could get them all together in one place saying that we're going to work together to promote horse safety, and then talking to Bill Thomason, you know, why now? So because they have to. They've realized they cannot work independently anymore and get this done. They have to work together to get it done, to show the public, after all the things that have happened at Santa Anita especially, that we are serious about horse safety and we can make it safer. Drew Fleming, who was there from the Breeders' Cup, said we have to make the sport safer, and I think that's what it boils down to. I think we'll see what comes out of it, but I think it's definitely a step in the right direction.
John Clay, Lexington Herald Leader, KentuckySports.com. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
18 away from the top of the hour. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Ken Spencer from WHAS-TV in Louisville coming up next.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Kent Spencer joins us from WHAS-TV. Talk a little UK sports here. We were just talking a good bit about Lynn Bowden. I'll get your take on what he's doing because you played college football, and so you have an appreciation for, you know, what I think you played wide receiver, right?
Yeah, I did.
But similar concept in terms of if they had switched you to quarterback, you had to learn all the stuff the quarterback learns. So you should have, I'm guessing, a little bit of a more unique appreciation for what he is accomplishing.
Probably even more so because, you know, the way that they've completely revamped the offense. So, you know, he would probably have, if he just came and they just ran the same exact offense that they had with Terry Wilson and Sawyer Smith, you at least have an idea of where people are supposed to be. But now that they're in this offense now, they've completely revamped it. He's had to learn a completely new position. I have so much more respect for what he's doing because I think quarterback is the hardest position in sports. To give you a little background just on me, yeah, I played wide receiver. But I was also like the emergency quarterback. And when people say, well, you know, he used to play quarterback in high school, you know, it is just a completely different animal, especially in college and everything that you got to know. The fact that he can pick all that up has been just incredible. And the fact that they won, you know, the games that they won with him at quarterback, I think is pretty miraculous.
And they, I got a sense there. There's a little bit of, they're so focused game to, you know, just preparing. They wouldn't probably even acknowledge this. But I got to think with Eddie Grant, Henshaw, and Lynn, and Stoops too. They're getting a little bit of a kick out of this in terms of how creative they're getting to be, and a lot of that goes back to what Lynn's able to handle.
100% on what he's able to handle. But no, I think that they're almost kind of like, I think Grant and Henshaw probably feel like mad scientists right now. Like, oh, what can we come up with? What new wrinkle can we add? Not only does it work because you have such a dynamic player in Bowden, but, you know, it probably doesn't work the same if you don't have those three running backs like they do in the backfield. And to be honest, like, Kentucky's offensive line is really conducive how they're built and how they like to block. It's also conducive to what they're doing now with running the football. So, you know, it really does work. They have all the pieces in place, and now I think those guys are probably like kids in candy shops. You know, when you're an old dog like Eddie Grand, you know, sometimes it's like it's really cool to have something new to kind of spark the fire and get the creative juices going. And I think that's exactly where they are right now.
This will be the last time we catch up to you before the UK U of L game next week. So players and coaches aren't supposed to look ahead, but we can to talk about what you think that matchup will look like because the new coach at U of L, Coach Satterfield, has done an amazing job.
No, you know, he has. And you know, the one thing that I kind of always go back to is this. So I remember the day that Bobby Petrino got fired. Vince Tyree sat there, their athletics director, and they said he believed in the talent on that roster. And Tom, I remember thinking in my head, is he nuts? And the one thing I think we've learned throughout this season is there was a lot of talent left on that roster because you don't win six games and you don't go into Wake Forest, you don't win there. You know, even though that score looked like a basketball score, you don't win there unless you have talent on the roster that can go make plays. And that's exactly what they've had this season. So, you know, I think it's kind of twofold. Satterfield has done an amazing job to get those guys to believe in themselves again. But also, man, what a bad job did Petrino do last year? I mean, I think it's maybe even more of an indictment on Bobby Petrino than it is, you know, a praise for Scott Satterfield. But, you know, this is a team that believes they're having fun again, and that's why they're bowl eligible when nobody predicted them to win six games.
Let's go back to basketball now, and Kentucky plays tonight, two this weekend, and it's, you know, the games are not games that are going to, you know, stoke anybody's fire, but it is important for Kentucky just to kind of keep moving forward. It's right now with the guys they don't have on the floor, it's hard to know, you know, what they're going to look like until you get all the pieces back out there and see how it starts to work together, right?
Well, and yeah, because, you know, at this time, you know, Cal's just kind of piecemealing everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got a lot of new guys that need their roles defined, and it's really hard to do that when you don't know exactly, you know, how you're going to have to play when you have everybody healthy and you know, everybody's available. So, you know, for me, like, I look at, you know, most of the time it's you know, freshmen kind of figuring out their roles. I mean, I think Ashton Higgins knows exactly what he needs to be for this team. Emmanuel Quickley knows exactly what he needs to be. Same with Nick Richards. But I think, like, guys like, you know, Khalil Whitney and Keon Brooks and those kind of guys, they're kind of in no man's land right now because until you're, you know, fully healthy and until you're full steam ahead, you know, what does this team need me to be? What role do I need to play? And I need to try to figure out my game at this level. And I think they're in a little bit of a holding pattern right now. But, you know, more so than anything, I think they, you know, they have to figure out how they need to play offensively, and they have to become a unit in there. But when you're only dealing with seven scholarship guys, it's really hard to figure that out.
Yeah, I always have said that Calipari is like these guys that are training horses for the Derby, and that they get one shot with each horse. They got to get him to peak on the first Saturday in May, and for him, gets kind of one shot with each team. Got to get him to peak in March, and this is in that analogy the equivalent of, you know, something happens in the preparation schedule, you know, and late in the 2-year-old year, early in the 3-year-old year, and there's still time to adapt, but you're going to have to make up for that lost time.
But, you know, it's funny. You have to make up for the lost time, but and we've seen this before, because I have, like, I've seen Cal do this too many times when, like, throughout the course of the season, you're like, I don't know if they're going to get it. I don't know if they're going to get it. This may not be the year. And eventually they get it, you know, to a certain extent. But what their ceiling is, who knows? But, you know, so I do think they're going to get it. But also at times with those teams, and you're right, like, he always aims to peak at the right time. You know, sometimes his teams have peaked a little early. But maybe what this is, and look, this is completely glass half full, but maybe this is like it puts a pause on it to a certain point, and they'll just peak a little later, and, you know, that's exactly when you want to peak.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. Kent, thank you much. See you tomorrow.
I appreciate it, buddy.
Kent Spencer, WHAS-TV, and we'll head to the break. He joins us on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline. We'll be right back. Donato/Wildcat history. This day in 1991, it was the final football game that Kaywood Ledford called for the University of Kentucky, and Bill Curry had him do the pregame talk to the team. Unfortunately, the team couldn't get the win, but it was just a cool moment, and Steve Moss from WKYT recently tweeted out that speech. So if you go back on his timeline, you can find that. Question from Chuck, leachreport@gmail.com. What's the status of Xavier Peters? Doesn't seem to be playing. He actually played a little bit late last week down at Vandy. You know, with being held out for a while, he was behind. He was just playing. Once they didn't know what his status was going to be when the season started, he was on the scout team. And so he had a lot to catch up on once he got eligible. And then he had an issue where he got himself in the doghouse, being late to some things, according to what Coach Stoops said. So that threw him behind. But he's obviously worked his way out of that since he is back now, was playing last weekend. So I think he would probably, a good chance, figures more prominently next season. Steve says, can Landon Young catch the football? Steve wonders if he's big enough to play tackle in the NFL. I think he can play. He's very, very much big enough. I don't know if he can catch the ball. I suspect that he can because he's pretty athletic, but I don't think he'll need to convert to a tight end or anything. I think he'll do just fine as a tackle. Travis says, how much time do you think Lynn Bowden will play tomorrow? Well, you think back to that Austin Peay game a couple of years ago. They were trying to hold Steven Johnson out, and they fell behind 13-0, and that plan got scrapped pretty quickly. So, you know, we'll see how the game goes. If it goes as would be expected, I guess I would say 2.5 quarters, maybe something like that. We'll see how it plays out tomorrow. Kentucky and Tennessee Martin at 3:30 Eastern. Pregame will start at 1:30 on the UK Network tonight. Mike Pratt and I'll be down courtside at Rupp for the first of two this weekend for Kentucky basketball. 7:00 Eastern time tonight, 6 against Mount St. Mary's, 6 Eastern on Sunday against Lamar. So lots to talk about when we get back together next week to move into Thanksgiving week. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report Radio Network. Miss the show? Catch the podcast at TomLeachKY.com or on the iHeartRadio app.